going on? This is Doki and Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to a almost mid-season edition of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, is C-Red Fred Pfeiffer. And Fred, I know you are somebody that is typically always seeing red. You cannot tell me that you saw this thing coming.
I did not see the seven-game winning streak coming. I admit that. I did expect the Bulls. I think here's the statement I've consistently made, and people laughed at me and thought I was a dope. I've said this is a one-year rebuild. I think this team, due to that Jimmy Butler trade, potentially has the three core pieces that could win a title in 3 years. And that's, you know, Dunn, obviously, future all-star to me. Markkanen, future all-star. And the biggest question mark was around Dunn, and that has, you know, clearly solved itself. I mean, the kid is something, and he's really blossoming before our eyes. Markkanen, we're already hip to him. And the last one is LaVine. You know, we got to see how he looks, but I'm confident he's going to be rock solid. And if so, and if that happens, you know, we got everything we need right now. I'm not saying it's completely dependent on the next draft, right? Now, that said, I think the big picture, it would be great if we can get in the top five for this next upcoming draft, because I think there are long-term difference makers there. But I'm not negative either way. I'm positive either way. So in answer to your question, I did not see this level of play coming, but it sure heck is nice, isn't it, Mark?
I mean, I'm somewhat conflicted on it to some degree. I mean, put it this way. If you told me this team had won three games until Nico came back about a week ago, and if you told me that Niko Miricic's arrival back to the team was going to be the beginning of a seven-game winning streak, and we didn't do the eight game. I mean, we lost against Cleveland the other night, but what a game. I mean, yes, that was a very competitive game. They played great on a back-to-back, too.
I know.
Part of me thinks this team might actually be better than the team that we had last year. Like, they're way more they have way more shooting, which is, I mean, for sure. I mean, now that they're getting a little bit of confidence, you're seeing them play with more confidence, and this is a team that can actually do something. Now, how do I feel about these wins? Look, I do not think that we have the pieces right now where these pieces develop and they're going to be anything special at any point in time. Could this be a team that, you know, develops into a legit 500 team maybe with these guys? Maybe, but I still don't think they have a ton of pieces. And to say that Chris Dunn's going to be a star, I mean, like an all-star, it's still, I feel, quite a stretch. So, which, again, I have nothing against anything that anybody has done. I'm very high on them. They're showing me things that I didn't know they were capable of. The team in general, multiple guys on this team. But at the same time, I think that it is extremely important, especially because you built this season on getting this pick. It is important that you're playing for that pick. I mean, if we lose our chance to get a top three pick because of this level of play this year, I think that's a big mistake. So I feel like if they've won three times as many games here almost in the last week as they'd won all year. If they continue to play at this level, you got to do something by the new year. I mean, you can't let this continue.
I've talked about that. Yeah, I think there's a trade there with the Lakers. The Lakers are the worst team in the league in three-point shooting. Nico is a natural fit there. And plus, the Lakers could easily just take advantage of that contract with the team option and cut him and use that cap space for signing LeBron. I mean, there's so many potential trades for Nico, especially if he continues at this level, right? If he reverts back to Nico of last year, well, then we're not going to get a we won't get him for a box of donuts. But that solves the problem, because if he starts playing like he did last year, we're going to start losing games again. I really like to hear your opinion on Ayton, because we haven't talked since in a while, and you're the Arizona grad. You watch more Arizona than anyone I know. What is your take on this kid, and what do you feel about him, and is he special? Is he that guy you'd like to see the Bulls take number one overall?
He's amazing. And, I mean, look, he's caught my eye because he goes to Arizona. But, look, I mean, anybody who knows Arizona basketball knows this is a team that's had a lot of talent over the years, obviously. They've produced a lot of NBA players. I've never seen a player play for Arizona in my life that is as good as DeAndre Ayton. There's no question about it. I've never seen a guy on Arizona in an Arizona uniform before where I'm like, this is a transcendent talent who's going to produce at the next level, you know, on a dominant level. I mean, he's big. He's got the wingspan. He is the perfect type of player for today's NBA because he can shoot. He can play in the post, but he also has a jump shot. He is the perfect type of center for the league today. You see what a guy like Joel Embiid can do for the Philadelphia 76ers, who I really don't think have that deep of a team. You really see the impact of just having him healthy. Like, just him alone on this team, it makes them so much better. I think Ayton is that type of a talent. I mean, I don't think there's much question. I mean, obviously, players can come into the NBA and not be ready, but if you're watching what he's doing right now, he's averaging like 21 and 11. Those are insane college numbers, and he's routinely having like 30-point games and things like that. That stuff doesn't happen in college. It just doesn't.
And so you saw Markkanen last year. You saw Ayton this year. I mean, compare your feelings on this guy's a pro prospect. This guy, did you feel that way about Markkanen last year?
No, it's not even close. Markkanen, I'm like, this guy can shoot the NBA three. But first of all, Markkanen didn't catch my attention until much later in the season. Ayton caught the world's attention. Everybody knows who DeAndre Ayton is. That wasn't the same with Markkanen. But no, Markkanen, I was like, this guy can shoot the NBA three. There, I mean, I certainly didn't look at him and think this guy's a shoe-in to be an NBA, you know, star by any stretch. I mean, he looked like he was slow. He didn't look like he was a great defender. He looked like, you know, he showed a lot more versatility in the NBA than I saw in college. But again, he didn't catch, you know, I don't watch every Arizona game. I can't. They're not televised here, and I don't subscribe to the package. So, you know, it took me a little bit. With most Arizona players, it takes a little bit for me to kind of know what's going on in the season. But not Ayton, man. I mean, I knew within a game or two this season, I was like,
Did you feel
amazing.
Better?
I mean, he's amazing.
How about Aaron Gordon when he was there? Did you feel better about him, or is it similar?
I have never felt this way about an Arizona player, not even close. It's never been in the same spectrum. Aaron Gordon, no way. Aaron Gordon couldn't shoot. He's like just beginning to show some offensive game now. But Gordon, frankly, I think is very much what I thought he was going to be in the NBA. You know, Derek Williams, Richard Jefferson, Luke Walton. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys go through Arizona. Gilbert Arenas. Nobody has ever come close to scratching the surface of DeAndre Ayton. Nobody. Yeah. DeAndre Ayton is the best player to ever put on the Arizona basketball jersey. And he could tear his ACL today and not play another game this year, and he's the best player to ever play for Arizona.
This is some heavy stuff, Mark. I mean, I concur. I think he's the number one pick overall. I think the Bulls get the number one pick overall. This is the guy you must take. And I feel like pairing him and Markkanen together, I don't know if you agree with this. This is just the way I feel just about where the NBA is going. I think it's clear. I'm not the only one. I'm not on an island on this. It's going to be wings. It's going to be bigs. I'm so glad, and I'm so sick of hearing, you know, everybody fretting and losing sleep over, is he a four? Is he a three? Is he a two or a one? Is he a tweener? Screw that. It's the one through the three wings. And it's the four and five, and they can play interchangeably pretty much. I can see Markkanen being a center in the future league, you know. And let Markkanen and Ayton hand them your front court for the next 10 years. And let, you know, we'll figure it out in the wings. I think we might already have it with Dunn, you know, and Levine. And we'll build around that core four. And I'll roll my dice with that. And I think in 10 years, that four could potentially win us multiple titles. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, I agree with you. You need that piece, though. You need that piece. And I don't think we have that piece now. And regardless of even if we do have that piece now, let's say Markkanen is the next Dirk Nowitzki. Let's just say that he is. The fact is that you have built this season. You traded Jimmy Butler. You have built this year around losing. You let Dwayne Wade go. You didn't let Dwayne Wade go because you didn't think he'd be able to help this team. You let Dwayne Wade go so this team wouldn't be good. This team has gone on an incredible winning streak before Zach LaVine has returned. I am petrified, Fred. We're talking about Ayton. Come on, man. We are the fifth worst team in the NBA right now. In the course of a week, we have become from the worst team to the fifth worst team. That's the problem here. You need to lose a lot of basketball games. You cannot be just a mediocre team and get that top pick. There's a lot of bad teams in the league this year. There's like five or six teams that aren't going to win a lot of games. We need to be in that pack. We cannot. This week has really screwed us up in terms of record. I mean, to have three wins and now to, you know, a week later be having 10 wins, you're in a different class right now in amongst the bad teams.
Yeah, no
this
doubt
can't
about
continue,
it.
Fred. We have to do something.
Well, I think hopefully now, you know, they're playing some better teams, and we're. I think the ideal situation, and I think you would agree, Mark, is it's not good to be where we were with three losses and just, you know, looking so bad and losing 10 in a row. I don't think is good either. I don't think it's good to set those habits for your young kids. I don't think that's a good situation either. There's got to be some happy medium there. And I think ideally we could have games like Thursday where we compete very well, but it's still an L and it's still putting us closer to that, you know, bottom five in the lottery, but at least be competitive and at least people seeing, hey, this is a 1 year rebuild. I am not on board with the Sixers nonsense. I mean, they're 14-17 now. I've never seen a team more hyped than this year's Sixers with absolutely nothing to back it up. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Look at this team. I mean,
because Embiid, they don't have the depth, though.
Embiid's great.
But also, it's because they've drafted a lot of their number one picks. Look, you just traded another one of your top three picks. They want to be a crappy team and pick up all these assets, and all they have to show for it is two guys. Now, these two
and
guys that they show for it are really good.
Yeah,
but they've gotten five or six strikes, Fred, to make these moves. And, yeah, they've gotten five or six picks and within, like, you know, they've gotten, like, more than that that are within, like, the top five. And the Bulls here, if this is a one-year rebuild, what's tricky for us is that it's a one-year rebuild. You're going to have one shot. You're going to get one shot at getting one of those top picks. The Sixers had like a decade of getting those top picks, and they got two of them right.
Well, yeah, well, I think we got it right with Markkanen. I think we're both in agreement there. I think he looks like the real
deal.
But that
wasn't a top three pick, though. I'm just saying, like, that still wasn't an elite pick. It's a top 10 pick. It's a big pick. It's a good pick. But even if they whiffed on Markkanen, it's not the end of the world with a 7 pick, because it's just like, that's not a shoe-in. This was the year that you're supposed to get a top three pick. You
yeah.
have to get that top three pick, and you have to strike. You have to hit it out of the park, but you have to get it.
Yeah.
If they don't get this pick, yeah. Fred, this could be a problem for many, many years to come. So what we need to do, because this could screw up the whole franchise, the whole future of the franchise, because the draft is changing the way that it's going to work after this season, which is going to hurt our chances, even if we're bad, to continue to get the top pick. It's going to even it out a little bit more amongst the bad teams. But also, you're seeing this now. We seem to have a pretty competitive team. The team that I saw Thursday night is not a team that's going to be playing like that against, that's going to lose against, you know, I mean, at least 50% of the teams in the NBA. It
yeah,
looks like they could maybe beat. Like, Cleveland's one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, I agree, Mark, but I think you should get some, you should take some solace in that our best player, Markkanen, is 20 years old. I'm excited to even imagine what he's going to look like at 24. And he's showing a ton of signs. And LaVine is still a young kid, too. And Dunn is still a young kid, too. Just those three alone, I think, are going to guarantee that in 3 years we're going to be a competitive presence in the Eastern Conference, competing for, I think, to be one of the better teams. Are we going to be good enough to get to the finals? Who knows, right? Probably not. You know, you're right. But then again, we got flexibility. We got a lot of good things in our that we could potentially add. Clint Capella is a guy for the Houston Rockets who I love. And let's say, gosh forbid, we don't get another big. He's a guy I'd go after with everything we have, and he's an excellent defensive player. And you'd have an interior young core of Capella and Markkanen. Yeah, it's not Ayton and Markkanen, but it's still something you could build around. And there's a lot of options here, and I don't think we should feel horrible. It'd be disappointing if we didn't fall in the bottom five, but I still think you should have solace that we could still get a good player between 6 and 10 and still have a team that can win a title in the East in 3 years. I mean, it all depends on how Dunn and Markkanen progress, but it's not hopeless. I understand everything
you're
saying. It's
not hopeless, but we got to do something. And this guy, look, they got to do something, Fred.
Why did
I mean,
they will, right?
Me, what does this team need to do right now? I think you got to get rid of Robin Lopez. He's such a big part of this team.
Agreed.
He's such a big part of the intensity, of the defensive presence. He's a really good player, and I mean, he's helping. He's been one of the only bright spots throughout the beginning of the year. And like right now, he's such a big piece. We would lose a lot without Robin Lopez. You need to get rid of him, and you got to get rid of either Portis or Nico. Look. If you ask me, Nico and Markkanen are similar players. Nico's 26 years old. All of the guys on this team right now are like 19, 20, 21 years old. By the time that this team develops, if they develop, Dico's going to be almost 30 years old. Then you've got the Jimmy Butler situation. I mean, you already kind of have a Jimmy Butler situation in terms of Nico. I think it's Nico's the odd man out. Because do I think Portis has the upside? He might have the upside of Nico, different type of upside. I mean, I still see in Nico, he's been playing really well, but I still see poor decision-making offensively. He takes a lot of very difficult shots, contested shots.
He's shooting 40.
But he's been hitting them, but... Yeah. That can easily change if you're not taking wide open shots. That can change. It's got to be Nico that's the odd man out. And what if, you know, and then my hope is that LaVine comes back and that he's not ready to play right away and that he's not very good. And I just hope to God, because if he comes back and he's averaging 21, 22 points a game, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do if the team doesn't win? It's a tough balance here, because I think Nico, if he keeps on playing, first of all, you can't even trade him until the 15th of January. When he's eligible to be traded, you move him. And let's hope that he's playing at this level, this high of a level, because he should garner a late number one. I think Lopez could garner a late number one. I think those two guys are that valuable and playing that well that both those guys could garner a late number one. Now, late number ones are just a crapshoot. You know, very rarely are they going to be real superstar players, but hopefully they could be, you know, part of a rotation. You know, but I do also kind of understand, like Sam Smith, I heard on the radio this morning on Fred Huber on ESPN 1000 with Fred and Murph, they were referring to a conversation with Sam Smith where Sam is making the case that the Bulls could still tank, but you might want to hold on to Nico and figure out a way to be bad enough to still hold on to Nico, because if you could somehow get in the bottom five but still have Nico next year and still have Lopez next year, that would be the most ideal situation, because then truly it is a one-year rebuild and you have four core young pieces with two quasi-vets. Lopez is an excellent vet to lead and kind of shepherd you into that next phase, right, of competing and being really good. I just don't think, and I agree with you, it's
clear.
How
do you do it, though?
Yeah,
it's clear. You can't do it. I'm listening to Kendall Gill the other day. I love this Bulls podcast. It's Kendall Gill, Schanowski, the guys that do the Comcast Sports Network. They mentioned you.
Kevin Anderson, one of our good buddies, exactly.
Bulldog
Anderson, he's a great kid. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
He's a producer of that show.
And he's like, are you at C-Red Fred territory yet? You're a local legend, Fred.
Yeah,
but Kendall Gill's
very local.
Came back from injury with the Nets. And how they sat him and didn't let him come back because they were tanking and they didn't want to add him to the team. The problem with our team is, you know, LaVine's coming back. We know what his time frame is, so you can't bench him for the rest of the season. And you kind of need to see him a little bit before you give him a max contract, which he's going to get the max contract. There's no way around it. Even if he doesn't play a game this season, you have to, because you've invested so much in him with the Jimmy Butler trade. But then what do you do? These guys are, I mean, the team is what it is. What do you do? Are you going to bench a healthy Nico Mirotić and Bobby Portis? Are you just going to muck up the lineup?
Well, hold on a second.
Like,
do you have to sign him?
Before.
Hold on a second. Do you have to max him out? I don't think you have to.
What?
I don't think let's say Levine does not play well, right? Let's say he does not play well. There's no way you max him out. First of all, there's only 19.
I think Levine's going to get a decent contract.
He
it
will.
It seems like most analysts believe that as well.
No doubt he'll get a decent contract, right? But if he doesn't play great, the Bulls hold all the cards in this negotiation with LaVine. First of all, he's going to be a restricted free agent, right? There's only nine teams that could sign him. And there's only nine teams with room to offer him a max deal, right? And you got to assume that those teams, I haven't looked at who they are going to want to offer him a max deal. And if they do, then the Bulls match. I think it's likely. I think it's possible that he'll sign for less than a max deal, or he'll say, you know what, I'll play it out and become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. We'll see. But that would be a major risk for a kid with already one torn ACL. I think it's possible the Bulls get LaVine on a really nice deal. We'll see. You know, we'll see. We'll see how he plays. It's imperative that he plays well. And I think he will. You know, Bulls right now, the big thing I mentioned is, you know, when I was talking with Keith, before, is the Bulls only have three guys that are shooting really well from three. That's Nico shooting at 48.9%. That's not lasting. I mean, you think that's going to last? No way. They got Valentine shooting at 40, and they got Bobby shooting at 38. After that, the rest of the team isn't shooting it that great. Just the addition of LaVine shooting the three at a 38% rate, if you can keep that from last year, is huge for spreading the floor and making the team better. But I do think it's possible that the Bulls get LaVine on a good deal. I don't know if you...
Isn't it great seeing a Chicago Bulls team that can shoot the ball? Like, I can't remember the last time team that we've had that could shoot the rock. I don't think we've really had
a team
since Jordan. No, because that team, Korver could, but the team couldn't. We never have had three-point shooting. The entire Tom Thibodeau era, we didn't have three-point shooting. During the entire Scott Skiles era, you didn't have it. You had, like, Gordon. That was it. But you always had holes. You always had huge holes. That in our shooting, where offenses would just lull, the offense would just stall. Like, the ability now to kick the ball around and take open jumpers all over the place, we've never had that before.
I disagree with that, Mark. But just the fact that we had Kyle Korver, doesn't get any better than that, right? We had
that. But that's it, though. You just had Korver.
No, CJ.
And at that time, Korver wasn't a dynamic scorer. So it's like you just had this guy that you could bring in off the bench who would hit wide open threes. But you had such huge holes in that lineup because of Ronnie Brewer, Derrick Rose. You had huge offensive holes. This team is actually pretty well balanced. I mean, Dunn's starting to shoot the ball pretty well from three. Pretty much everybody that's a major player at all the major positions can shoot threes. And now we got power forwards that can shoot threes. This team's a good shooting team. This team is well balanced, is well built for today's NBA. And if you got a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who can shoot, he can shoot from range, I bet you that this guy could get a three-point shot. He's shooting under 30% from three right now, but he's a center. I mean, the fact that he's shooting in the mid-20s is like, all right, I mean, this guy can actually, he can obviously shoot from range. This guy also started playing basketball like 6 years ago or something. It would just be, You would have an offensive powerhouse if we could get a guy like that. Because you're so loaded at power forward right now, too. That's another issue. You don't want a power forward. You need to get a guy that... I normally say draft the best player in the draft, but this year, you're going to get stuck if you get a power forward because you just have too many.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. We shall see. All right, my man. I got to hit the ground running here. Great to talk to you again. We got to start doing more of these. Now, First of all, let's make that big announcement. Congratulations on graduating. That was a big reason... Probably haven't had as much time in the past, so now hopefully you're going to have more time to bust some of these babies out.
Yes, it should make thank you very much, Fred. I appreciate it, and it should make a big difference. So I've been watching a lot more Chicago Bulls basketball since I've graduated. I've watched, in some degree, most of the games since in the last, I'd say, month or so, which has been nice because I wasn't able to watch the beginning of the year. And I just got to say this, man, this team right now, it's just insane that I'm even saying this, but it's like this is the most fun I've had watching Bulls basketball in a handful of years because last year's team was very frustrating. The last couple of years with Derrick Rose were very frustrating because you had high expectations that they never met. It's kind of nice having no expectations. It kind of reminds me of that 2004 season where the Bulls started off 0-13, I think, 0-10 at least, or something like that, with Gordon, Dang, and Heinrich, where they turned it around. But even that, even more unexpected, but kind of was more unexpected. Like, this was, I was expecting this to be like Dalibor Bogarić type territory here, like 1999, and this is nowhere near that.
Well, it was for a while. All right, my man. Take it easy, Mark.
You too, Fred. Until next time, it ain't Bulls.
It ain't basketball. Have a good one, bud.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bulls Guy.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin, and let's see.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting Bullseye, Chicago Bullseye, with the great at Bull Scripted Keith Franz. Keith, how you doing, brother? What's going on, my man?
Not much. Getting ready for Christmas and the Celtics game tonight.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you and your family. We really appreciate you coming on the Bullseye as many times as you have. You're a budding superstar in the podcast biz, and I look forward to every time we touch base because you always, number one, you're bringing the good news about the prospects on the horizon. And I declared a crossroads this Thursday pulling up the big red bus saying that if we won that game, I would call off the tank. We lost that game despite our better efforts, and so the tank is still on. How do you feel, though, in retrospect now, looking back at that seven-game winning streak and the loss to Cleveland? What do you feel? How are you feeling? Are you still on board with the tank?
I was never going to divert from the tank, I think, getting excited and rushing this process instead of taking our time, doing it right, clearing the decks, recycling assets that are, you know, only here through next year, and getting rookie contracts from first-round picks or second-round picks moving forward makes more sense. They're cheaper. They fit our timeline. But seven-game win streak, although it hurt our odds and moved us from first in the lottery to fourth, it's positive. It's what we want to see, especially with the weight being carried by Dunn the majority of the time there. His late-game heroics, he seemed to be, you know, he seems to turn it up a notch when the pressure is on, which is something that is good to see from your point guard of the future. So all in all, the win streak's a positive, and that's something that fans seem to have a problem with when I continue to talk tank, even though we're in a win streak. I like watching them win. It's not that I don't like watching them win. I love what I'm seeing. It's awesome that some of the things that I kind of felt would come to fruition in the preseason and in the off season are happening right in front of me. But it's also was my biggest concern was that, you know, there's a whole bunch of other mediocre teams in the NBA. We're right in the middle of them. We're not the worst team in the league, as people would like you to believe. We are missing 3 to 4 rotation players to start the season. Any team missing 3 to 4 rotation players from Golden State all the way down to the Bulls is going to struggle more so than usual than if they had their rotation players.
No, agreed. Yeah, and the idea that we were that bad started out, that's exactly what was ignored. Nwaba wasn't there. Nico wasn't there. We obviously still don't have Levine. I do want to touch on his imminent return because, you know, looking at this Bulls team, and in general in the NBA, three-point shooting is imperative and it's very important, but especially for a Fred Hoiberg offense. And the team overall is still shooting, to me, very poorly from three. We got three guys above 38%. That's Nico, that's Valentine, it's Bobby Portis. Everyone else is just at average or worse. And when you consider the fact that the best team in the league shoots it at 39%, that's Golden State, and the dead last team shoots it at 33, I'll get to that team in a second. You know, it's imperative that you have good three-point shooting, and Levine has already proven at 38% that he can shoot the three. That's a good percentage. His imminent return in that fact alone, just adding another three-point shooter is going to do wonders for this team. Do you concur?
Oh, no. I think Levine's going to make everything, not even just the three-point shooting. I think he's going to make it easier for Lowry. I think he's going to make it easier for Dunn. You know, whoever's at that power forward position, whether it's Nico or Lowry, is currently getting the most attention from offenses, whether that's on, you know, the pick and pop, or just in general on the perimeter. They're getting the most attention because they're the best shooter on the floor. When Levine comes back, he's a pure scorer. He's not only good from the outside. He can create his own shot. He can make things happen. I think he will take a lot of the attention away from guys like Lowry and Nico if he's still here once Zach is returned. I think he makes it easier for everybody. And then the three-point aspect, obviously anybody who can spread the floor makes it easier for Dunn to create space, not that he needs much. So, Levine coming back is obviously where that teeter-totter of are we still tanking or are we going to be one of the best mediocre teams and end up sneaking into the playoffs, because things are at this point, even though we're 6.5-7 games back from the eighth seed, it's still very close. The majority of teams, you know, are within 3 or 4 games of us. So Levine definitely could push us to that point, which is why I'm still waiting on these trades.
I love how the haters talk about, you know, the Bulls during the 7-game winning streak. We've gotten really lucky. You know, fortune has shined a little bit, you know, that we're missing some excellent players. You know, Boston was missing, obviously, their best player. And during that streak, there were some good guys who were out. But the haters never mentioned we were missing Zach LaVine. Now, that never comes up. or that never came up when we were talking about how bad the Bulls were for the first, you know, quarter of this season. They never talked about all the people that were out on our team, Nico and Bobby, you know, for a good percentage of it, rotation players. But that's how you see right through the hate, right? Just overestimating. Anytime somebody wants to say the Bulls suck and, you know, 7 wins in a row was nothing because other teams are missing players, we were missing players too. We're missing one of our, probably, I think LaVine on any giving day will be a top 2 player for this team. So that's something that all the haters conveniently forget. I do want to get into a topic now that I saw you going back and forth with on, and I didn't get into it really in depth on where it was on Twitter, and everybody should follow you on Twitter at BullScripted. But the topic came up, I think, about drafting the best player overall. So let's say the Bulls get a pick and, you know, the best player overall is there. Do you draft by position or do you draft by, you know, or need or the best player overall? And one of those best players overall may be Oklahoma point guard Trae Young. Now, I am of the belief that Dunn can play the two very easily. I think that a guy like Young and Dunn together in the backcourt would easily be able to work because they can cover up each other's deficiencies pretty well. You know, Dunn can guard anyone. And I thought in that Cleveland game, on a switch once he had LeBron, he guarded him fantastic. LeBron just made an incredible shot. And Dunn, I think, can guard any players up, you know, from the 1, 2, or 3 position. What do you think about that? Let's get into the philosophical opinion that you may have on drafting the best player or slightly worse for need.
For me, the way that the talent is at the top of this draft, if we're picking 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, I guess, if you include Trae Young in the top 5, which he definitely is making the argument for, 28 points, 22 assists a couple nights ago, and then last night I believe he had, 31 points and 12 assists, and he sat out most of the second half of the game because, like the Golden State Warriors, they completely blew the other team out of the water. I believe they had 68 points in the first half of the college game, which is very rare. So Trae Young is very fun to watch. He's a great college player. My concern is his style of play is either it's make or break. There's really no middle ground. He's going to have to play at a Steph Curry level if he wants to stick around in the NBA. But for me, I think with the talent being so close in the top 5, you go fit. I mean, if you can trade back and still get the piece that you think fits best, do that. Obviously, that's risky with the way teams go about drafting these days and the smoke screens and the silence and the fake rumors they put out because social media area, you know, nothing is contained. Everything gets out before it happens and it tends to ruin plans. But I still think best fit makes the best sense in this draft. I could agree Dunn could play the two, and I actually see, you know, if LaVine can step his defense up, we could have a 1-2 in Trae Young and Zach LaVine that's similar to Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. And then, you know, Dunn would probably have to come off the bench, but that's not the worst thing possible, having a point guard at the skill level of Dunn as your backup or, you know, your sixth man. You need the defense. So there's plenty of options that go with it. I'm still at the point where I think we need to go fit. We need a wing badly, and we're going to need a big guy to complement Lowry because Rolo's only here through next year if he doesn't get traded this year.
Yeah, so that's 8, and it sounds like you're still number 1 on him.
Yep. And I'm still at 8, and I can't. You look at the kid, and you literally see, you know, an old school big with a jumper. And yes, his defense is concerning, but Lowry's defense was concerning coming out of Arizona. So was his rebounding. So was, you know, everything outside of his jumper was questionable to scouts and analysts regarding Lowry coming out of Arizona. I think Ayton, a lot of his defensive stuff, like I've said multiple times, is just boredom. You know, it's a product of the one and done rule. He's stuck around a whole bunch of talent that he just eclipses. So on certain nights and on certain plays, he just doesn't have, you know, the competitive juices flowing where he has the urge to want to get up.
Right.
So I'm still at 8. You can't teach size. You can't teach a 43-inch vertical for somebody that's 7'1", 250. That's unheard of. But it will be very hard. And as I've said before, you know, as we get closer to draft night, we know where we're picking, and we know where LaVine stands health-wise, because we can get excited about LaVine. I think LaVine's coming back. I think he's going to be as good as he was, if not better, stepping up to the occasion of being that guy and having a max contract in the horizon in the offseason. But what if he doesn't? You know, that changes our draft plan. Then I think Doncic goes right to the top of the list. If LaVine comes back and he's not himself and there's major question marks around him, I think you have to start looking at Doncic again. So a lot of stuff can change, just like Trae Young coming in to the picture of the top prospects in this draft. You know, previous weeks we had mentioned him, but we had really only talked about, you know, Ayton, Doncic, Bagley, and Michael Porter, who's about to be coming back in the next few weeks.
It's a tough call, though. I mean, all things being equal, I think you get yourself into major problems if you start drafting based on position. And if Doncic is the best player in the draft and the Bulls make that determination that he will clearly be the best player, I don't care, you know, you got to take him. I mean, look what happened. If history tells you, you know, what Michael Jordan in 1984, the Portland Trailblazers had the number 2 overall pick, and they had Clyde Drexler at the 2-guard position. Fantastic player, Hall of Famer, one of the best of all time, but he's not Michael Jordan. They took Sam Bowie, and the rest is history. So it's such a tough call. I get what you're saying, but too.
But then you look at the 76ers. You drafted 3 centers. You have now gave an extension to the one that you wanted to keep out of the 3, a max extension. He hasn't played a full season yet. The other 2 that you wasted picks on are now gone because you log jammed them. You didn't get the development. You didn't get to see enough out of them, or you did see enough out of them, and they were just wasted picks. You know, you can't log jam that way, because then you hurt the development of one of the key assets that you're looking at. So
yeah.
The way I look at it is you block up Lowry. That's initially why I didn't want Nico back. And with Nico playing well and trying to get him trade value, we're already seeing it's cutting into Lowry's minutes. I don't want another power forward. If Dunn continues to play at this level the rest of the year, I see no need to go out of our way to draft, you know, Trae Young or Colin Sexton or Trayvon Duval. We need a wing and we need a center. I get, like you said, it's a very tough situation. You don't want to fall into that trap where you go, this is what we need. It doesn't matter where we are. This is what we need. And I'm fully aware of that. But we really need an athletic wing and a big. We don't need another point guard. We don't need a shooting guard who has passing abilities. We got that in Zach LaVine. He played the point for Minnesota in his rookie year after never playing the point. So he has playmaking potential as well.
Yeah, I kind of feel that's what we're moving to, though, is there is no position. There is no point guard. There's just wings and bigs. That's it. And you can't get enough of them. I mean, the reason the Sixers are having issues now is because they drafted, you know, Jahlil Okafor ahead of Porzingis. I think all that would have figured itself out. I even see Markkanen being able to pay the 5 at some point. You know, you get in trouble.
Well, I don't count him out on being able to play the 3 either. He's a very athletic big guy.
Exactly.
He improves his handles and he gets a little stronger. He could definitely play the 3 as well. So his versatility, yes, does, I suppose, keep that window open for maybe a Bagley, and you move Markkanen, you know, to 3 or 5, depending on the nightly matchup.
Yeah. Yes. Either way, it's exciting. I also feel, and correct me if you think I'm insane here, I think it's entirely possible. I think there's a good chance that the Bulls have already on this roster a core of Dunn, Markkanen, LaVine, and those 3 alone can win a title. You got to build around those 3. But I think it's entirely possible, regardless what happens with this pick this year. And it's never guaranteed. Who knows what's going to happen with this pick? You know, ideally, you're right. We get 8, and now we have 4 guys that we can say, here's our core 4.
But it's not even just having the 4 guys, though, Fred. It's having the cap, rookie contract.
Yes.
Everything. Because say the guy you pick isn't what you want to be. You have those, you know, the second half of his contract is team options. You know, you can pick it up or you don't. When you sign a free agent, you're trying to build around, you know, the 3 players that you got. You give somebody a big deal like the Lakers did with Dang and Mozgov because, you know, they're like, okay, we got a young core. We want some solid veterans. We should be good to go. Now they're giving up their young assets to get rid of those contracts. because they didn't hit in free agency. So that's the risky part about the way that we're going. If we just want to say, screw it, let's worry about the details later, let's push these kids into the fire and get them playoff experience this year, which I think we could do. If we make zero trades, the way the East is, you look at the Magic, they started out like 8-1. They're now only one game ahead of us. Detroit's falling off. So the East is still very wide open. We could very easily make the playoffs if we do not make any trades. But I think that would be the worst decision ever.
Yeah, you're saying this year making the playoffs. Yeah.
Yes.
The worst would be being the Miami Heat of last year, in that they just finished out of the playoffs.
You don't even get that benefit. Then you don't even get to hang your head on the fact that you got the playoff experience.
Exactly. You get nothing. You know, but everybody's worried, we don't want to be the Heat of last year. We're not. You know, I mean, the Heat, look at the guys that really pushed that team. Waiters, James Johnson, you know, those guys are all older. You know, it's not even in the same, it's not even a remotely decent comparison, just because the guys that are the best players in our team, Nico's the elder guy, he's 26 years old. Everybody else that matters is younger than that, most importantly, Markkanen at 20. You know, getting Markkanen and playoff experience this year is huge, would be absolutely huge. You know, Dragic for the Heat last year was their best player. He was 30 years old. So it's not even close to accurate remote comparison. I do feel that would be the worst case, though, is to be the Heat of last year, have a great run, and then get a late pick. But, you know, we'd still be in better shape, no doubt, you know. I did want to get into a little bit with you. I really appreciate you coming on the Bullseye again. But with, let's say the situation again. So right now the worst team in the league at shooting a three-pointer, again, so imperative for success in this league, are the Los Angeles Lakers. And that trade is there. I'm 100% certain. Randall for Nico, or whatever assets the Lakers have. But that trade would be there. They're the worst team in the NBA shooting the three. They really don't have a major incentive to tank. Plus, if they brought in Nico's agreement, the way the contract's structured, it's a team option in year two. They could actually cut Nico, have all that cap space to sign LeBron. Is that a team you foresee the Bulls potentially doing a deal with? And if so, what's your take on Randall?
I would like a trade with the Lakers. It was actually just reported before we got on this call that the Lakers are looking to trade Jordan Clarkson as well, either during the season or in the offseason, to free up cap. I don't see the point in trading for Randall. We've had this conversation before. Magic Johnson at least reported to Adrian Wojnarowski that they don't intend to re-sign Randall. Whether that's a strategic move that's trying to scare potential suitors away because he will be a restricted free agent, I'm not sure. But that was already a month ago. Randall's playtime keeps, you know, fluctuating, and I have seen, you know, very intriguing things out of him. So I can see where you're at and why you'd like him. I just think he's somebody that you'd be better off going after in free agency. If the Lakers were willing to take on, say, Felicio and Nico for Dang Clarkson and a 2020 first-round pick, something like that might be intriguing because, you know, Felicio's here for 4 years. That deal in the offseason is still my biggest bone to pick with the front office outside of not getting the 16th pick and, you know, selling the 38th. I wanted to use the 38th to get somebody as a Felicio replacement, which Jordan Bell is looking like he is pretty much exactly that. But yeah, the Bulls fan base like Felicio, that's another story. So I could definitely see a deal with the Lakers. I have messed around with the trade machine and them a lot. But ideally, the only thing that they have outside of potentially taking Felicio on and sending us a future first, because they don't have a first this year, and we can't get their 2019 first, because you have to make a first-round pick in between 2 years. They can't trade their 19 because they don't have their 18.
Gotcha.
So the only thing that's appealing enough to me is Ingram, and I don't think they're going to let go of Ingram.
No way. No. Yeah, I'd love him too. I mean, I think that would, before this year, he might have been able to pull that off somehow. I mean, obviously not for Nico, but some
at the beginning of the season to take Dang on, because Dame and Ingram's contracts expire the same year. Their contracts combined next year equaled about $26, $27 million. That's obviously a full max contract. So in that regard, it makes sense for the Bulls to do a deal like that, because then you're essentially just paying Ingram a max contract early and getting a veteran presence like Luol Deng, you know, along with him. And then when their contracts expire, you go into talks with Ingram, and you already have that cap allocated to pay Ingram. The beginning of the season, might have had this, you know, smallest shot in hell to make that happen when he was struggling early. Now he's, you know, shown progressions, shown leaps. So I really don't think that's happening. So I really don't see anything that the Lakers have that benefits us immediately. Obviously, the 2020 first round pick is nice, but by 2020, we might not really care so much about first round picks. That might be something that we end up trading if we had it, you know, for a veteran presence that's going to help in the playoffs.
Yeah, do you think Nico's played his way into a late first round pick? Like, has he played that well that we could pull that off?
With the way that the league's going, a team that I've also looked at is the Knicks in Noah. We've seen how good Markkanen and Nico can work together. We've seen how good Nico and Bobby can work together. So that dual stretch four, stretch center combo, him and Porzingis could really work well together. The Knicks have their first round this year. I've been messing around with Nico for Noah and their first protected, you know, 1-8, 1-10, in case Porzingis has a season-ending injury and they fall out. But I really think Nico's a player that could help the Knicks solidify a playoff spot for the first time in 6 years.
How about the Blazers? You know, they're fighting for that last playoff spot there. And I, you know, they have this disastrous situation in terms of salary. I wonder if there's any deals potentially there to get somebody who could
potentially... Evan Turner has a big deal. Miles Leonard has a $9 million contract similar to Felicio in their eyes, where they're kind of just like, crap, we're stuck with this. We got a bunch of bigs.
Yeah.
And Miles Leonard isn't getting much play. So you could probably work something out, whether with Evan Turner and Miles Turner, or just one or the other in a swap for Nico. I've also been looking at the Pelicans. Pelicans could definitely use some shooting. That's their biggest downfall. And Nico could possibly even play the three. That would be kind of scary, having Nico, Anthony Davis, and Boogie all on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have someone in Solomon Hill who's not expected to return this season. He had a hamstring issue. His contract's $12 million for the next 2 years after this, so through 2019, he's a solid 3-and-D player that got a contract because of his performance in the playoffs with Indiana. So that's a trade that really intrigues me, because Hill isn't somebody that can contribute to the Bulls right now. If we were able to get there first, swap him and Nico, essentially, you know, somebody like Blakeney, somebody who isn't getting minutes right now, you step them up and they get a chance to get some minutes, you get a pick, and it doesn't hurt the tank.
You know, it's amazing when you look at it. It really is that the West is just, there's six awful teams now. You got the Clippers at 13-18, and below them, the Lakers, the Kings, the Suns, the Grizzlies are 9-23, and the Mavs. No one saw that. No one expected the Grizzlies to be 9-23. Nobody thought the Clippers would be 13-18. You know, the Jazz are 15-18. It's amazing how much worse the West is, and how much some of these teams now that we didn't expect competing with us for this top pick, and the Grizzlies and the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers are right there, you know. And even
like it seems like you have five teams in each conference that actually have something worth playing for, and then the other 20 teams are literally floating around going, are we going to go for the playoffs, or are we going to go for the stacked draft class?
Yeah, well, I see in the West, I see, you know, the Jazz, Pelicans, Blazers, Nuggets, Thunder, Timberwolves, Spurs, Rockets, and Warriors, those nine teams. I none of those guys are tanking, right? They're all going to be fighting for the spot. Maybe the Jazz, if they keep on losing, might consider it, but nine teams fighting for eight slots. the Clippers and below, I don't. Why are the Clippers, you know, to me, that's a team that absolutely should try to tank going forward. We'll see if they do it. But in the Eastern Conference, you know, look at who's number right now, number, let's see, where would they be? The Sixers are 10. The Knicks are 17 and 15, and they're out of the playoffs. They're at 9. The Sixers, the Nets, the Hornets, the Magic, the Bulls, the Hawks. The Nets and Sixers have zero incentive to tank. I mean, I guess it's, Sixers technically have an incentive, you know, but they want to win, right? I mean, what are you going to put their fans through, you know, 6 years of hell? You know, it seems like they're trying to win. But the Nets have no incentive to lose. So we're looking at the Hornets, the Magic, the Bulls, the Hawks. Those four teams are terrible. And, you know, the Hornets are 11 and 21, the Magic 11 and 22, the Bulls 10 and 21, the Hawks 7 and 25. It'll be interesting to see going forward where this all ends up. But, you know, the Bulls, I think, could easily, now that you mention it, looking at this, it's possible they could make a run if they really wanted to and go for that eighth spot. But
like I said, everything's so jumbled in the middle for teams. I believe we're 6.5 games back right now. And like I said, everything in the middle's 11 wins, 11 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins, 14 wins.
Yeah.
So we are really not far out at all.
Yeah.
And that's what my concern is. I'm glad that our schedule's toughening up. I think we have maybe 2 or 3 games we should win until about the time Nico can be traded, the 13th. I did the schedule on Twitter all the way up till then. And outside of the Mavericks, Pacers, and Knicks, it's rough sailing until January 13th, 15th.
Yeah, so I think we're both in agreement, Keith. Here's what we want to see. We want to see another game like Thursday where the Bulls play great. They really take a good team to, you know, to the end, but they lose. You want to see that with Boston?
Is what I pray for every night before I go to bed, Fred, is an overtime loss that shows great production, great effort, great everything, but still puts a loss in the column.
But all the haters and all the dopes and all the people, oh, it's a 5-year, it's going to be like the Sixers. Shut up. Just shut up. This team immediately, if we get Nathan or a major, a really high pick here, I call off the rebuild. I'm like, we are going for it next year, and we need to be in the playoffs next year. That's my
take. Well, no, and that's where my plan comes into recycling the assets that we have that are only here through next year in Rolo, Nico, Holiday. Because if you can turn those into picks, even if you have to take some contracts on for, you know, some cap on other veteran contracts, and that's the thing that people don't understand is in most of these trades, people's main concern is, oh, well, we need veterans. You can't just have, you know, these guys won't know their way. Most of the trades that you'd be making for the players that we're trading are to get overpaid, more washed up veterans to give a contending team our playoff ready veterans.
Yes. Yes.
So you get what you're giving up and you get the pick. And I, as much as I don't want to see Felicio play 30 minutes a game, unless we can find a way to dump him on somebody, he's got to play.
Yeah.
You know, Nico obviously took all of his minutes away, and that's the difference in our wins. As you know, you go from Felicio negative plus minus nightly with 4 points, 2 rebounds,
horrible
to
20 defense.
Points a
yeah.
game, 8 rebounds, and a positive plus minus on the game. That's the difference in our wins right there. It's just swapping Nico and Felicio. That's it.
Yeah. Any way you look at it, and I think you're in agreement here, I think we're definitely on the one side of the spectrum that this is a positive situation. As Bulls fans, we should be excited that in the not-too-distant future, we're going to have a team ready to cook with gas and make the miracle and be competing for titles for several years in a row. Because we've got Chris Dunn, to me, who's a future All-Star. Markkanen is a future All-Star. We'll see how Levine looks, but I think he's got the potential to be a future All-Star. And let's hope we hit a homer with one more pick. But for people
I posted something on Twitter the other day. I said the key factors in building a championship team are luck, timing, and positioning. Bulls got lucky with getting Markkanen at 7. They got lucky to get Dunn as a throw-in in the trade as the 5th pick from last year's draft. who was initially considered a potential Rookie of the Year candidate, who is now showing that level of play in Chicago. We have the positioning. Golden State and Cleveland are going to be going at each other. Obviously, LeBron's got the fountain of youth. He could play for another 15 years for all we know. But you know the Warriors and him are wearing each other out. We make, you know, a 7th, 8th seed next year, get them the playoff experience they need, get them that taste, that hunger, because no team goes from not making the playoffs to winning a championship.
Amen, my brother. Amen. All right. Hey, Keith, as always, great job. Looking forward to having you on again next week, and let's hope the beloved Bulls have some exciting losses over the course of the next few games, and let's make the miracle in 2018-19. All the best to you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays to you and your family, and everyone listening. In the interim, go Bulls, and looking forward to having you on next week, brother.
Yep, talk to you next Saturday. Have a good holiday, buddy.
You too, man.